And now, your letters. We received lots of emails during our program on young teens and sex. That show focused on a new report that says 1 in 5 teens have intercourse before the age of 15. Many listeners wrote in to ask how they can help teenagers make better choices. We've asked our guest on that program, Sarah Brown, to join us again. She's director of the National Campaign to Prevent Teenage Pregnancy, which issued the report, and good of you to come back.
Thanks. I appreciate coming back.
We got several emails like this one from Shanda in North Carolina. I have a 12-year-old stepson, very responsible for his age. My husband, his father, seems very squeamish about discussing sex with him. I don't feel comfortable either. Is there a book that would be advisable to offer him, one that would answer many of the questions he may have in a true and interesting manner?
You know, in this issue of what book to read, I think it's like everything else in parents' lives. You have to do your homework. I am going to actually suggest one, but the important thing is to go to a bookstore and preview books, just the way you might a movie or, goodness sakes, if you were choosing a school for a child. You know, books present things different ways. They say different things about sort of the values that surround the biological facts. And so I don't recommend that people just sort of grab something off the shelf. I think, like everything else with children, you have to think about it and see what fits your family and your level of comfort with different issues. Having said that, I will tell you there's one book a lot of people like. It's called It's Perfectly Normal by Robbie Harris.
And conceivably a conversation about the book could lead to the conversation where people don't feel so squeamish about talking about sex.
That's right. The books sometimes help parents as much as they do children. But the important thing is to do your homework. Figure out what do you want your young people to know and what books presented in a way that works for you. There are also many videos. It's not all printed. You can get on websites and prowl around. American Academy of Pediatrics, lots of different sources. Planned Parenthood has actually a pretty good teen section. But again, you have to find things that fit you, and that often takes work.
Another email from Anna. Aside from the raging hormones of that time period, please consider the deep loneliness of many young teens who are not especially popular and who long for the special closeness of a real relationship. This seems like an important issue adults need to address.
That is so true, and I really appreciate someone bringing that up. Loneliness is a factor in young adolescents' lives. I mean, when we ask young people what could the adults do to help them stay risk-free or, you know, avoid early sex, you know what they often say? They say things like, don't leave us alone so much. Or they say, pay attention to us before we get in trouble. They're very aware in their own way that when there's no one paying attention to them, and in particular nothing much to do, that sometimes life happens, even if it's not sort of the first choice. There's not only loneliness amongst these young people, I think for some there's significant depression. So when we see someone who's sad and lonely, we have to realize that may end up in places that we don't prefer. So same old thing, parents have to be on the case, paying attention, and spending time with these young people and filling their days and lives with engaging, interesting, and positive things.
Thanks again for joining us.
Not at all.
Sarah Brown is director of the National Center to Prevent Teenage Pregnancy. You can find their study at www.teenpregnancy.org. Teen pregnancy there, one word. We have a correction to make. During our segment on the African-American racing car circuit of the 1920s and 30s, Pete Peterson was one of many to email us to say, Willie, not Wally. That's a reference to Willie T. Ribbs, who was the first African-American to race in the Indianapolis 500 in the year 1991. And thanks, Pete, for the correction. And finally, our segment on the last episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer brought in many wistful recollections. This from Kristen. When I met my husband, on our first date, actually, I mentioned I liked the Buffy show. He did, too, and for our second date, we watched it together. He was the first man I met who liked the show, and I married him for it. It's a ritual for us to tape the show Tuesday nights and watch it Friday nights, because sometimes I can't look when it's too dramatic, and then when we know it turns out okay, we rewind it so I can see what actually happened. My husband is a very patient man. We read from your emails every week. The best way to reach us is totn@npr.org. Remember to put the topic in the subject line and please include where you're writing from, your name, and a tip on pronunciation. Talk of the Nation is produced by Susan Lund, Setsuko Sato, Justine Kennan, Alicia Montgomery, and Megan Williams. Chad Campbell is our director, Brendan Banizak is our production assistant, and our intern is Lauren Johnson. Kevin Wade is our technical director. He gets help from Vince Muse, Mitch Eaton, Chris Nelson, Marcia Caldwell, and Carlos Gomez. The senior editor of Talk of the Nation is Ellen Silva. Sue Goodwin is our senior producer. And Leith Bishop is the executive producer. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.